All right, welcome to Proudly Resents, the show about movies that are so good because they're so bad. This is Adam Spiegelman, and we have great guests here. We got Peter Avellino, writer of the great blog.
Mr. Peel's Sardine Liqueur.
Which is a great blog to check out about films. You write actual essays about films. It actually takes
time. How long
time.
Are these essays?
They're long.
Sometimes, yeah.
Like New Yorker says it's too long. That's how long it is.
Oh, my God.
And Todd Levin, recently Emmy-nominated writer for Conan O'Brien. And
congratulations.
Still owes me $10.
I stole you a dollar. You should just clean up here while everybody's here with you.
Eric was nice enough to let us use the studios here. They record Retro Radio Live every day, every other day.
Monday through Thursday, we are on from 9 to 11, and we talk about the very best of the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
So again, they actually have Peter Scolari is on tonight.
Yeah, from Bosom Buddies, we have him on tonight. We've had on John Savage, Billy Dee Williams. We've had on everybody.
Tonight we're going to talk about the movie Cobra. Peter, the only way I can get you here was to find a movie that you don't like because you love movies. Well, it's hard for you to...
Well, no, wait, I should say...
You're saying you don't like Cobra.
No, I should say...
Yes.
I actually saw Cobra in a theater only about a month ago.
Right.
So I have no... animosity towards Cobra or anything like that. The New Beverly Cinema in Los Angeles.
They had a triple feature.
They had a triple feature of Stallone films of Cobra, Tango and Cash, and Cliffhanger. I left before Cliffhanger, but I was there for the first two.
Cliffhanger's the good. That's the one that makes sense.
Yeah.
True.
That wraps up the trilogy.
I think I was in an 80s nostalgia mood that night.
Good.
Right. So,
good. I live and die by the 80s, man. I mean, you can't go wrong with the 80s. I mean, there was no war. The worst thing that happened about the 80s was crack.
Oh, maybe AIDS.
Well, AIDS and crack.
There's a couple of things. There's a lot of good music.
There was a lot of great upside. I mean, how do you not beat Parachute Pants and The Flock of Seagulls? And you know what I mean?
I don't know what ever happened to my Parachute Pants.
I still have them in my mind. I probably don't even, I couldn't fit in them if I tried. But
still wearing them.
Because I had crack. I could buy them.
Well, speaking of the 80s, Peter and I lived together in the 80s briefly in college.
Very true. Very
we
true.
Were roommates for a little bit. And even then, you were a film fanatic.
I loved
movies. You sat around and read film magazines they've never even heard of. I don't know where they came from.
I guess so.
Where'd you end up going to school at?
We went to a great school called SUNY Purchase.
A great school? Yeah, I'll call it a great school. Yeah, go ahead.
Remember, you were the film program. I was in the you just got in program. But Cobra, but what is it about Cobra that you love about this film?
I don't know how much I do love about Cobra, but there is a certain 80s-ness to it. I mean, like I said, I wanted to go to that triple bill to see, well, I stayed for only two of them. But there was something about action movies in the 80s, everything that was still kind of real. They were gritty. They were violent.
They were
R-rated and proud of it. Tango and Cash is violent, but it's much goofier. It's immensely goofy.
Yeah.
Cobra tries to be serious. It's like it's
they're moralistic.
It is, in
a weird way. But, I mean, they're moralistic in a very heavy-handed way.
That's Cobra. Like, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, what is his morals? He's going to clean up the streets by killing everyone.
Yeah. I don't think he leaves anyone alive.
No, there's no one left in the film. The credits were very short because no one made it to the end of the film.
He even killed the car. Are you kidding me? Everything
died.
Oh, my God.
I think Stallone was trying to really do his own Dirty Harry sort of character.
Oh, it was exactly Dirty
Harry.
Oh,
there's so many.
There's actors from Dirty Harry.
Yeah, exactly.
His partners from the movie Dirty Harry.
Exactly. Well, you think about the context of it. It was 1986. Stallone... it was Memorial Day 1986 is when it came out. The previous Memorial Day, Stallone put out Rambo, which was massive.
Right.
The previous Thanksgiving was Rocky IV. And that was the peak of the 80s, the peak of Stallone-ness.
Right.
Well, and jingoism and America's great. All of a sudden, Rocky IV is about America.
Yeah. And it was almost like this was going to be the next great Stallone character.
Right.
And it didn't. It was a big deal when it opened. I actually remember one of the local stations in New York doing a news report on the opening night of the movie. Not the premiere, but people waiting to see it. That's how big a deal it was. But then the movie opened. And
they realized how bad it is.
Basically,
it was so violent. So they were trying to get another – it was so obvious, another franchise. But I felt like the plot – so just real quick, he's like Dirty Harry. He's a cop, doesn't give a shit about authority, and he will shoot and kill anyone just to – save.
Crime is the disease. He is the cure.
And he's the guy who does the jobs that no one else will do.
He's in the zombie squad. That's what they call it.
They call him the zombie squad. He's the worst cop, by the way.
Yeah.
In real life, they should totally just get rid of that guy. Put him in. He's Dexter, but with a toothpick in his mouth.
He never even takes out a badge.
No, that's
I've
true.
Never
that's
seen
true.
Any credentials at all in the movie. He just walks around with loaded weapons.
You assume he's a cop because they let him. He might have just came to work one day and they're like, oh, I know who's that guy. you ask him. I'm not asking.
It makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it's hard to imagine him.
Was that guy at Rocky? I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, he does a great Stallone impression.
Yeah.
But the opening scenes to show what a badass he is. There's a hostage situation.
In a supermarket.
Right. And no one will go in there because there's a hostage situation in the supermarket.
And so the guy who's taking everybody hostage has shot most of the shopping carts. Yeah, for groceries.
I mean, and the lights are all out for some reason in the supermarket. I don't know why.
During the day.
Yeah, during the day. Yeah.
The lights are out.
And the freezer doors are all open to create a kind of foggy effect on the floor.
Very true. Sort of mist. And it's Christmas time, don't forget.
Yeah. It's Christmas time in L.A., so they have to have as much Christmas decorations as possible.
Yeah. Right.
But he goes in there. He just walks in. Now, meanwhile, if any other cop would just walked in there, or they should have been shot immediately. Mm-hmm. But he gets in there, and there's a lot of product placement in this movie.
Yes.
I mean, he was a hype.
A whole supermarket filled. Oh, my God.
Right.
Well, so a massive Pepsi display
everywhere.
Pepsi makes a couple appearances.
Odd, uncomfortable, awkward appearances. He's about to shoot the bad guy. He's hiding behind a Pepsi machine.
And he's drinking some Coors, too. Also,
he takes a Coors, drinks a little bit. Just to show him drink it, and then he throws it at the guy.
And then the guy shoots the Coors.
He throws it. He throws it as a distraction,
right.
And then the guy shoots the Coors, and they have a close-up of the Coors can being shot with the label out.
Of course they do.
And someone yells, oh, that's refreshing. I'm shot, yet I feel refreshed.
What a perfectly good waste of Coors.
Cops are crying. Yeah. They're like, oh,
the real tragedy today.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He's also wearing sunglasses through the entire scene when the lights are out in the supermarket indoors. Now, I don't care if I'm going to be a good guy or a bad guy. If I'm about to get involved in some sort of shootout, I'm taking my sunglasses off. I mean, I would just think that's common sense, wouldn't you?
It might have been prescription.
You're not as cool as
I'm not as cool as
he's pretty badass, and he can't see. He might have been blind. So we established that he's a badass who doesn't need to see and loves product placement.
Right.
And then, but
he doesn't need sight nor a badge.
I hate to give this critique, but I just felt the plot of the movie was ridiculous.
It is.
I mean, they get Stallone, they get the Dirty Harry character, and then they just can't come up with a good cop plot.
Well, the thing is, it's based on a novel called Fair Game, which was made into another movie about 9 years later called Fair Game with Cindy Crawford and Billy Baldwin. It's the same. My guess would be, and I know nothing about the novel, I couldn't really find much online, my guess would be that the only similarity the novel has is cop has to protect woman from killers.
Right.
I'm going to guess. So maybe Stallone took this concept and decided this was the perfect opportunity for him to create a badass cop.
Sure. And just change everything else?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, who's the woman in the movie? Was his current girlfriend? His
current wife, actually. Current wife, Brigitte Nielsen.
Who's a good, I think, 18 inches taller than him.
Oh, she's about. Yeah.
I actually just saw Sylvester Stallone's footprints at Grohmann's.
They're little tiny things.
No. We had just gone to the Philadelphia Wizard Con, and we got to walk around Philadelphia a little bit. We went to go see the Rocky statue. And at the top of the stairs, they actually have Rocky's Converse footprints with his name. It says Rocky on him. He can't be bigger than like a size 8.5 sneaker.
I was going to say, it says kid size 6.
Right. They're baby. Right. Yeah.
They have like a little Brannick device next to like his footprints, you know.
It's just a pair of zips.
Yeah, but no, he's a tiny guy to begin with.
Not to skip to the end, but we're talking about how small he is and how big she is. Mm-hmm. There's a fight scene where she's standing there doing nothing. She's a damsel in distress. And I'm thinking, you're bigger than both of these motherfuckers. Yeah. Get in there. Yeah. Kick someone in the head. You can reach.
She could use Stallone as a battering ram.
Throw him across the room. Yeah. A little tossing across the room. He does a great thing. So we show him being a badass. We show him yelling at the sergeant. And then he goes home. He's got a cool-ass apartment. I don't know where it is.
Well, it's somewhere down in Venice, and it's got a great view. And it also has a Pepsi sign, which is apparently advertising only to him.
Wow.
There's a huge Pepsi sign right facing his window.
Yeah.
And he goes out to think and contemplate. If it was the 70s, he would have had a cigarette. But he's just sitting there and thinking in front of those Pepsi sign.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So there's a great Rob Matushita wrote in, because this is one of his favorite films, is a scene where he goes to his house and he pulls out an egg carton and a piece of pizza.
Yeah.
And so what happens, Peter?
Pulls out an egg carton, and I think the egg carton has all of his guns.
But the pizza.
Well, it's one tiny little piece of pizza left over.
And he cuts it with a pair of scissors.
Yeah.
He takes a piece of pizza, nice. Cuts it with a pair of scissors, puts the triangle top on the plate, then cleans his gun out, and then puts the pieces back in the egg carton, back in the freezer, and we never see him eat the pizza.
Or if he does, you see him eat the triangle tip.
But that's it.
Because
he's on a diet. I don't know why. Because he's on a diet. But why was it so important to show those actions of his?
To show that, you know, all of his life is about the guns and the food is just this necessity. He'll eat just the bare minimum. And he doesn't care about preparing a meal or anything
and
like that.
And he doesn't care about the rules. Like, he'll cut a piece of pizza with a pair of scissors.
Yeah.
Corrosion of conformity.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's Italian, but he'll kill his mother by eating with scissors.
Hey, he'll put your eye out with that toothpick. You kidding me? Holy cow.
In the sequel,
he brushes his teeth with his fist.
Yeah, exactly. With a brick.
He was going to put ketchup. In the sequel, he's putting ketchup on spaghetti. Just totally killing all Italian stereotypes.
But also in this scene, he turns on the TV so there can be a news report so we can find out the plot. But he picks up his remote to turn on the TV, and he does this bit of business.
Yeah.
At like this, he makes this big motion when he turns on the TV, like a flick of his wrist. And it's like, oh, he's cool. He's even cool when he turns on his TV.
You know, it reminded me of my grandmother. She had my Aunt Shirley had this big clicker. She had one of those first clickers back in the 70s. And it was huge. It had four huge buttons, up, down, volume, and off. And that's what I thought of him. Because like, you're always just hitting that button and shaking it. Like, why doesn't this work, this huge-ass button? And that's what it is. Like, how old is this TV?
Mm-hmm.
Or it might have been frustrated with the director. Like, listen, will someone fucking make this TV work? You don't see me pressing the button. It was take 8,012.
Right.
Like, fuck it. I'm going to swing this thing around and I'm going to hit the button. If you don't see that, you're an idiot.
Right.
That's pretty much how the whole movie was made, I think.
There's some pretty big action sequences in it. There are a lot of, you know, long driving sequences, like car chases and things like that.
Oh,
there's
one of the car chases in the beginning, you notice they don't have any music.
No.
It's kind of like Bullet or
It's not
French
much, but, well, it's not even like silence, but there's a little bit of an ambient sort of...
It's got that sort of, the like a lot of the John Carpenter films had. That
a little bit,
like
not good, but a little bit like that,
Right, but I was like, thank God those cars are loud. They couldn't just have car noises like in the other films that they're copying. You hear the car, or you hear nothing, and then you hear a car coming.
Right.
And, oh, no, the car's coming. This is going to be good.
Yeah.
They just made the cars as loud as possible.
Yeah.
Like, they said, we're going to make this zombie. We're not going to have any music so people can feel it. But then they're like, well, people need something there.
Right.
Otherwise, they're going to freak out if there's not a lot of noise. Yeah. And
but the plot of the movie is that there is a... For some reason, only Cobra knows this, and all of us.
Right.
But only Cobra knows this. All the other cops are just like, "Shut up! This can't be true." But that there is a gang of murderers. It's a murder gang that has this. I'm not really even sure what their agenda is.
I think their agenda is to make the world for the strong and defeat the weak.
Purging the weak. Yeah.
Purging the weak. Yeah, kind of and for some reason they're also. The main one is pretending to be a serial killer, I guess.
Well, I don't get it. So there's a serial killer on the loose.
Yeah.
That's the plot. But,
right, yes.
And everyone's looking for this one serial killer. But for some reason, Cobra knows it's a team of killers. Like
he knows they couldn't be in so many places at once.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyone could figure that out.
But the main serial killer is in every place at once. There's not one murder that occurs where he isn't. He just happens to be aided and abetted by several other murderers.
There are a few things you would think he would assign one of his minions to take care of, but no, he goes and does it himself.
No, he's a dude.
Very hands on.
Hey, that's a stand up quality.
In a bad guy.
That's a stand up quality for him.
A lot of these guys are micromanaging.
I'm not going to have you guys do anything that I wouldn't do.
All right. Right. Myself.
Learn by example.
Maybe the same thing with the clicker. He's like, listen, you can't stab somebody, right? Let me just show you how it's done. He's very, so there's a team, but there really is one. So the cops are right. There is one guy doing it. He's got a team with him. He's like a Manson.
He's a Manson.
So he's following around. And so there's also a rat in the police station, we find out.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I was sure it had
a mole.
A mole. So are you sure it had to be the sergeant that kept telling him, stop investigating this crime. You shouldn't. He's yelling at him. Don't investigate this crime. You're wrong. It's one guy. We'll figure it out later.
Well, we're jumping ahead, but that character, Andrew Robinson, who of course played Scorpio in Dirty Harry, I have a vague recollection of a long time ago reading him in an interview saying that was going to be like the big twist at the end of the movie, that he was going to be part of the gang also and they were going to have to kill him too. But then they just decided...
They changed it.
Yeah.
But it was so obvious. It had to be him. It was kind of disappointing it wasn't.
There's one point where something happens and like orders had to come from somewhere in the department and we never find out anything. But
well, so they what happened? Bridget Nielsen's introduced.
Bridget Nielsen. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, she's
a model.
We know she's a model. How do you know she's a model?
Because there's an amazing montage.
With a robot.
It doesn't make itself clear for about five full minutes where... it cuts between murderers.
Right.
And then I think Cobra doing some stuff.
He's maybe, like searching for the killer.
Searching for the killer. Yeah. Oh, going from scumbag to scumbag. Yeah. Have you seen these murders?
On the mean streets of
and
LA.
Then to close-ups of robots for a really long time. And then suddenly it reveals that it's actually a fashion shoot where Brigitte Nielsen is doing a photo shoot around a bunch of life-size robots.
At one point, and this always confused me, even when I was a kid seeing this movie, at one point during the fashion shoot, we see her basically looking like Brigitte Nielsen with that close crop blonde hair.
Right.
But the whole rest of the movie, she's got this long, ugly, curly wig thing, which in the context of the plot has to be her real hair because we see her in the hospital and stuff. And
well, the hospital ones look good. They don't.
Yeah, but what is with the blonde thing? Is that supposed to be a wig? What?
I can't believe you're trying to make sense.
Yeah, so she's
being photographed by Sledgehammer.
Yes, she is. Yes. Yeah. Yes, she is.
Colbert. So she finishes this photo shoot.
Oh, yeah.
She goes down into the parking garage, and then for some reason the killers are in the parking garage.
Well, beforehand she's witnessed them cleaning up from this killing on the street. And
so they found her.
Well, they found her, but she witnesses the leader of this gang. And the thing is, when he sees her car coming, he basically walks out into the middle of the street and stands there while she drives by. So she's the big witness to him. He could have just hid in the van.
He doesn't hide.
This whole movie would never have happened if he had just hid in the van.
Oh, I wish he hid in the van. Could have gone home a lot earlier. Yeah. Like, you know what? Keep killing. We're good. So they chase her into this parking garage.
Yeah, they kill Sledgehammer, sadly.
Yeah. Sadly, he's gone. With David Rausch?
David Rausch.
But she's scared, and a security guard comes out of the elevator.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, help me. Yeah. And what does he do?
I think he shoots a couple of people, doesn't he?
He fires his weapon at the oncoming van.
Right, which squishes him again.
Which is a pretty cool shot. It's got to be some kind of fiberglass dummy or something. I don't know. But it's a pretty cool shot.
But she doesn't go into the elevator with him.
No, get that at all.
I don't get that. The elevator doors are open. She could have gone in, closed it, and gone back up and got out of there. Again.
But she hid under some stairs.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
She said, help, causing attention to him.
I think she also shouts, leave me alone, as if that'll get them to
Did
go
that
away.
Work?
No, I don't think it does work. No.
So they meet up. Some reason she has a bond with Stallone.
Inexplicably.
Inexplicably. It just happens.
Because you can't see his eyes.
Yeah. I love a man who I have no idea what's going on with him at all. So they're on the run.
Yes.
Am I skipping too far ahead?
I don't know. She's in the hospital for a little while, and the killer tries to get to her there.
Yeah. And then
he gets in. Like there. Yeah, the killer gets very close to... Actually, this is one of my favorite parts of the film. Because the leader of the murder gang... sneaks into the hospital, but before that, he puts on a disguise by slicking his hair back and dyeing it black with mascara or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gone to all this trouble. He's gotten all the stuff he needs for his disguise. The only thing missing, apparently, was a pair of glasses. So he has to go to the hospital and murder someone just to take their glasses. And like he actually kills a janitor and just steals his glasses.
So the janitor, there's a security guard talking to a nurse on duty, on call, and they see a janitor walking by. And she says, why is there a janitor here so late? Yeah. And the cop goes, I don't know. And she says, I'll go check it out. And he goes, all right, I'll just hang out here and see if the phone rings.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll file some things. Maybe if someone's coughing, I can give them a lozenge.
I'll just finish this coffee.
Yeah. So I don't know why does she go, isn't it your job? Once a year something happens?
You would think.
So you think they would have better security on this. And then he gets out. He just kind of walks out afterwards and no one notices.
No
one notices. Yeah. He's covered in blood.
Covered in blood and mascara.
Yeah. Right.
Going down his
down, yeah.
And he can't walk straight because he's wearing the wrong prescription glasses. Right.
He's wearing an Asian man's coveralls. Say, Ling on them. No one cares.
Yeah, no one notices that whole thing. So they got to get the hell out of Dodge.
And they go to a kind of like a safe house.
Before then, there's a big chase when they try to leave the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a big chase. Now, they're leaving in two cars. His partner and the mole, who's secretly part of the gang, are in the other car. And that car gets crashed. So it's just Cobra and Brigitte Nielsen in Cobra's car about to take off. And I should call him Cobra. He suddenly goes, hey, where are they behind us? They're not there. And then suddenly he realizes it's an ambush and they're trying to kill them. So we have this big chase where the killers are trying to kill Brigitte Nielsen, and I guess Cobra also. So Cobra chases after them.
That's the part I didn't get. He finally gets away from him. He bangs him up, and he's such a badass. He's like, screw it. And then he starts chasing them.
Shouldn't they be chasing Cobra?
Or wouldn't they be like, great, he's right behind us.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let's pull over.
Yeah.
I'm going to
slow down.
I'm going to assume that it probably was Stallone who was like, no, Cobra's too cool to be chased. He has to chase them. Doesn't matter that it doesn't make any sense.
The hunted become the
because
hunter.
Because he's got her. They're trying to kill him, so he's chasing after them. He's getting her closer to them.
Right. His job to get her away from them.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like, screw it, I'm right behind you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
And it's also a car chase that's like goes from Long Beach to Venice to the harbor in about 5 minutes. Yeah.
But the end of the car chase is he crashes his car with the witness, the prize witness in this case.
Mm-hmm.
He crashes into a boat.
Yeah, spectacularly. Into like an
spectacular.
Like, not even just a boat, like into a tall ship. Like like the USS Constitution.
We're taking this boat out like a champ.
The boat is out. There are pilgrims flying off the side as we speak. Yeah, it was.
Tobacco and rum falling off the side of the boat.
Immigrants.
Tea bags and red coats.
They're all running out. And then they're okay. At that point, you got to take. I know he's a rebel. He's, by the way, the worst cop ever. Again, another reason.
There are also
why
massive explosions, like tanker trucks and stuff.
Oh, they just things just explode.
Yeah,
if something hits something
there
else.
There are a lot of shots
explodes.
Of people firing a single bullet into a truck and the truck exploding.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
There are actually a lot of director seems to have some weird fetish with showing close-ups of inanimate objects being shot, like. You know, if they're shooting at Stallone and they miss him, but he accidentally shoots, like, a lemon.
Right.
They'll cut to, like, an insert shot of the lemon exploding. Or
shot a cap off a Pepsi bottle.
Yeah.
You got to see the label.
Right.
Can you imagine the second unit director, like, all right, let's get this lemon. I don't know why. We got
he wants
more
it.
Things.
I don't know. He
I
wants
don't
it.
Know. We got a vase.
We
got
to put squibs on this lemon.
That's right.
I never had squibs in a Peeps before, but let's make it happen.
That's right.
Make
dare to be
happen.
Different.
A lot of these chase scenes are ridiculous, and they're all about just the explosion.
Yeah.
And so again, another time to take the
and this cool car. Don't forget, he's got a cool car that has a.
It says the vanity plate is awesome 50.
That's right. Which, it's got some special nitro thing where he can go super fast.
Yeah, he's got a nitro soak up. It was a 55 Merc.
Is that what?
Oh, okay. Chop 55 Merc. That car was bad.
Yeah,
it was a badass.
Yeah. It was.
But it was the same car he used in Death Race 2000. I think.
Is that true?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
But it's funny because the license plate said awesome 50, and. You know, like that's supposed to make you think he's cool.
Yeah.
Right. But if you saw that vanity plate on any car right now, would you think that the guy who was driving it was
cool?
I
would say midlife crisis.
Yes, exactly. You'd say that is a sad
either
man.
That or I'm in the barrio. Where am I, in the barrio?
Yes. Yeah. He's
a sad
got,
man who puts all of his work into his car.
Yeah. He's got nothing going on.
That's
two
right.
kids.
Probably
are
cuts
Calabasas.
His pizza with scissors.
Where's the 22-year-old wife to go with the car?
Yeah, this guy's a catch, ladies.
He comes with the toothpick and everything.
He comes with the toothpick. Yeah.
And an action figure. Holy cow.
Of himself. And
of himself.
His toothpick is the match that he kind of chews in his mouth.
Yeah.
Again, another thing you do if you're 15. It's like a 15-year-old wrote this. This is what's going to be badass.
Right.
When I grow up, I'm going to move out of my mother's fucking house.
Right. That's
I'm
going to
put a toothpaste in my mouth. I'm going to eat pizza. I'm going to freeze it.
Do you think they were walking around the set like giving each other like pounds? Like, yeah, Academy nod, baby. Yeah.
Oh, there were jackets. They were ready to go. This
oh, my God.
I think Stallone really thought this was going to be like Dirty Harry, a movie that like was talked about in op-ed columns
and stuff.
And
a franchise.
And a franchise. Yeah. There would be sequels and stuff. Yeah.
Well, it tapped into that whole like Reagan era thing of, you know, we've got to clean the scum off the street.
Mm-hmm. Right? Anyway, possible.
And kind of it was like around the same time like LAPD went militaristic. You know,
right.
Like this sort of idea that we have to defend our society against this disease of crime.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And he sort of represented that.
In Dirty Harry, it kind of makes sense though. Mm-hmm. Like here, it's like first of all, we have the supermarket killer where the media is like, you know, doesn't he have rights? And somebody says, hey, he brutally butchered 12 people, including a pregnant mother of twins. You know, well, yeah, of course I'd be on Cobra's side with that. So.
Right. How can you say no?
Yeah, exactly. And also, he's up against this army, which has nothing to do with reality.
Right. That's the thing that you never see a normal crime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though in the beginning, you hear Cobra rattling off statistics about crime. He's like, every 4 seconds, someone sets a man on fire.
Every 32 seconds, a lemon dies for no reason.
Produce death went up when this movie came out. People were just shooting lemons for no reason.
Yeah.
Captain Crunch got killed. I'm the real serial killer.
But it did go, what you were saying, with the Rocky IV and the Rambo. Like, there was such a Reagan-era kind of feel. And the same thing with, like, Terminator 2 had that feeling of...
Well, Cobra did okay. I looked it up. It actually did a little better than I thought it did. It
well, he was the biggest star in Hollywood at the time, but even so how did you okay?
It did like a little under $50 million, which after Rambo and Rocky IV was kind of a letdown. Right. And I think it didn't get a great response. I think it was like maybe he looked at it as too violent and people just didn't like it. And the action genre was changing. Only 10 months after this movie, Lethal Weapon opened, and really, things changed from then on. And don't forget, this movie was produced by Canon, actually, Golden Globus.
And it has that Canon look, that sort of where everything looks kind of greasy. You know, like
this is a pretty grimy kind of movie, actually.
And the music is kind of like...
Lord knows they save money on lighting.
Yeah, you know, there's no lighting. What's the Canon look?
It is like a slicker, slightly higher budgeted version of all those Charles Bronson movies from around that period. And they were pretty damn sleazy and grimy, too.
And Canon made those.
Canon made all those, yeah.
Yeah, the Canon stuff, it was like nothing occurred during daylight, almost, you know?
Right.
There were always a lot of warehouses being shot in there, and there was a really extensive warehouse or smelting factory. I don't know what that place is.
How did they get to the smelting factory?
It's right beyond the Lemon Grove.
Oh, right. You take a left at the Lemon Grove.
There's always that kind of thing, and the film always looked like, just visually, it always just looked not totally in focus and kind of like as if a dog had licked and just left the kind of film on it.
Very true,
They had a cheaper stock or something. They just had so much money they got Stallone for all these films.
And he also did Over the Top for them, too, his next movie.
Another one of these type of movies with a big star, Burt Reynolds. Didn't he have the movie Stick?
I've never
seen Stick, actually.
I'm
embarrassed to say.
Sharky's Machine was great.
I like Sharky's Machine.
Yeah. So this is like their version of Sharky's Machine. Like, this is going to be just as big. And you can tell there's a lot of elements in this film, like, we're going to make a lot of money. And that's when product placement was really huge.
Right? Yeah.
People missed the boat on E.T.
It was right after E.T., yeah.
So even in a super violent movie like this, like, we have to have our soda in it. You know, it's a Stallone movie.
Because everything to me, that especially on the budgets that they were working with, seemed like glorified B-movies.
Well, they were. You got Golden Globes producing these films, and they've done... nothing but those. They know one thing: revenge films in warehouses.
They tried. They dip their toe into the prestige arena every now and then, but it never quite took. But
we should talk about this in Cobra. That the sort of finale of the film after another kind of car chase, which is one of my favorite scenes from the movie, where he's just standing in the back of a pickup truck, just mowing down guys who are driving by on motorcycles, just shooting every
Stallone
single person. Yes, shooting Stallone, Marion Cobretti is shooting every single person in the murder gang. Just standing there, every bullet is whizzing by him. Anything's whizzing by him.
Again, a terrible cop.
And reckless.
Reckless.
And he's making her drive.
Again, she's making
Brigitte Nielsen drive.
Yeah,
she needs to be protected.
She shouldn't be there.
No.
She should not be there driving. She shouldn't be involved.
He also has a partner that isn't much help to him at all.
He just eats candy.
He just eats candy. Incident, I just have to say, I honestly think that just about the worst, you know, gimmick you could give to any kind of character, the characterization, is they're addicted to junk food.
Yeah.
How lazy is that?
That's all they did for him.
Wow. Yeah, that's all they did for him. And not only that, they kind of extend that to Brigitte Nielsen, because the big joke with her is that she puts a lot of ketchup on her French fries.
This is a great scene. They stop at a diner. They're on the run.
Yeah.
They stop at an open diner that anyone could eat at, and she gets fries, and she keeps putting ketchup and more ketchup on those
fries. She's not even putting that much ketchup on it. She's not like taking a bottle and just, you know, drowning in it.
There's a beautiful insert shot of the fries.
Yes.
Yeah, they keep cutting to the fries.
Stallone asks, do you have a life preserver?
Wow.
Why do I need a life preserver?
And it's one of those wait for it moments.
He goes, your fries are drowning in ketchup. Nice. And she's laughing her head up because it's the funniest
thing
ever.
She's like, you are the most charming man I've ever met.
That's basically
Marion
the subtext of the scene,
Oh, my God.
I'm about to be killed by a killer. I think this is hilarious. Yeah.
Is that the scene where she also says, what will you do when this is all over? Well, it's his job. What is he supposed to do? Where will you go? I think she says.
Where will you go? Yeah.
Where will you go? What is that even supposed to mean?
Here's the question: where are you going to go? Because you'll probably be dead. You mean when you die and I lose my job?
Also, who are you?
Yeah.
I still have no idea who she is.
She has the least amount of presence of any female lead in the history of movies.
All we know is that she was a model.
Yeah.
Right.
That's it.
And was she modeled the robots?
She's got about 30 lines in the whole movie, probably.
Right.
Wow.
Well, she didn't. Her English was not super strong at that point, right? I mean, she had a very thick accent.
She probably still does. She'd been in Rocky. She'd been Red Sonja, and she'd been in Rocky IV. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she was not an actress. She was not an actress. No, and they were probably, for all I know, they
she
shot.
She's a scientist, right?
Yeah, rocket.
They found her doing some rocket science. She's at the rocket science fair.
She took it at Purchase.
For all I know, they
we have a huge rocket science department at SUNY Purchase.
Oh, you minored in that, didn't you?
You know, honorary graduate of... an actual graduate, of course, Wesley Snipes from SUNY Purchase.
This is true.
And he got an honorary doctorate from SUNY Purchase, and he makes people call him Dr. Snipes. Why is that a weird thing to say? We didn't have a doctorate program at Purchase.
Oh.
They just made that up to get him to come back and give a speech. Right? We barely had a graduation.
Yeah, that's very true, actually.
Yeah. So let's wrap it up. Cobra, is there anything else we want to talk about with...
Yeah. So the finale takes place. Most of the murder gang has been killed at this point,
right?
But there's still a few left, and they're really, really focusing all of their efforts on this one person. Like they've been killing a lot of people across the city.
If this had been a movie where she was, I don't know, the girlfriend of the head of this army, and she really knew something, and they were trying to kill her, that would be a plot of a film,
right?
But she just saw him from a car, and he's wasting his entire army on this.
On this one woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is very bad planning.
He obviously never saw the wire. I mean, you can later on get in there and intimidate the person and make him change their testimony.
I was going to say, who in their right mind would, like, please bring her into court to testify against me. I'd be like, will you look at her, please? She's a mess. You know what I mean?
First of all, she hit her head on the ceiling. The ceiling
she's a blonde model. She doesn't know what she saw. Okay?
Your Honor, that's obviously, probably, she's Bridget
Jones. Yeah, she could probably be taken apart on cross, yeah.
Yeah, that's what he should have been thinking.
But why take that chance?
Yeah, he wasn't thinking legal.
It was dark. She's not a credible witness.
Right.
That's not great eyesight. Yeah. So what were you saying? The last scene, there's nobody left.
The last scene, there's almost nobody left. There's just a few key members of the murder gang left. And... And they've just driven through a lemon grove. They actually have all these lemon trees, and then the other side of it is the most intimidating fire spitting factory warehouse.
Yeah, the chemical factory.
And I don't know what they're even making there.
I
think they're just making fire.
They're making factory
because that's all. We're perfecting fire.
It's the most unsafe looking environment you've ever seen. People are walking across catwalks and they're just pipes with flames shooting out the end.
That's right. Small children are getting burned walking by.
There's just that big area. It's kind of like a hole that hooks go through.
Right.
And the hole has fire coming out from every direction.
So you don't know what it is. Yeah, some kind of weird smell thing, but there's got to be a hook thing in there. For,
of course. Always,
that's foreshadowing for later on, I think. And
there's a hook in a factory like that, in a movie like this, that hook will be used.
So we find out the mole is this female cop who goes with him for no reason.
Who, again, blows her entire career on this one tiny little thing. I mean, it seems just a waste. It really does.
They're in the safe house. Stallone walks outside, sees her on a payphone. Mm-hmm. Because she's talking on the payphone with him. He's suspicious of her.
Yeah.
What does he do?
He
lets it go. He goes back in the house. He has sex with Brigitte Nielsen, wakes up the next morning to have eggs. And for some reason, the bad guy's found him.
Well, if anything, he's shown up until that point that he has tremendous restraint and discretion.
Right.
Careful judgment.
Yeah.
And measured actions. Again, it's crazy.
Listen, I'm just a citizen of L.A., but I want to file a complaint.
Right.
This guy knew that this woman was a mole, and he didn't sneak out. He's
a
terrible, terrible cop.
Yeah.
He said, I thought they were going to wake up and they would be gone, but they were there.
She ends up in the smelting factory, the fire factory.
That's kind of a cool thing. Kind of a good twist.
What's that?
You think she's dead and she comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, she comes out.
I haven't seen that before, actually. I'll give the movie points for that.
Yeah. They've copied that in every other movie since.
Yeah.
But in all action films, she's paired off with Brigitte Nielsen. You know, it always has to be
the
female member of the gang is chasing the woman in peril.
Right, because you can't have men hitting women. So.
Just going to mention along those lines, when she jumps on the Cobra and starts to fight with him, she accidentally gets shot by her boyfriend, the main bad guy. Cobra can't even kill a woman.
No.
He's not even allowed that.
No,
that's so
accidentally. So you can shoot up 100 people, but don't hit a woman.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can.
God forbid.
Yeah,
but essentially, killing everyone is fine.
Somewhere along the way, a woman has gotten hit by a stray bullet of his.
Right,
that's terrible. He would feel terrible about that. But killing all the other people on purpose, that's fine.
Yeah,
it was like the violent video games from the '80s that had where you just shoot people or you kick them senselessly and it says, don't do drugs.
Right.
But shoot as many people as you can. Yeah.
But he does a lot of, while he's in the fire factory, he does a lot of kind of you know, like black ops moves to, you know, decoy. He sets up decoys. He at one point he just it's, they're the worst little like distractions where he takes a live grenade and just puts it on a little ledge and then hides and waits till guys come out. And instead of he's hiding, they can't see him. Then he could just shoot both of them while he's not hiding. But instead, he shoots the grenade, which then like that? Kills them that way. Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty smart.
Yeah,
I mean, it's also a waste.
Pretty smart.
It's pretty good.
Brilliant.
He doesn't
How many
do things
steps
easy
can
way.
I do? One thing.
Yeah.
Make it as hard as possible.
Oh my god.
So the guy luckily ends up on a hook. I don't want to give it away, but And he's on a hook.
If you haven't seen this movie by now,
Seen this movie by now. Yeah, even if you haven't seen the movie.
But the weird part is, before the bad guy ends up on a hook and then going through a ring of fire.
Right. That's how he dies. He doesn't get shot. He's the hook. He's screaming, oh, my God, oh, my God. It looks kind of cool.
Yeah, he
goes into the fire.
Yes, or some sort of mannequin goes into the fire because that's what it looks like.
But it's moving. Like, there's strings moving the
mannequin. Yeah, barely.
All right, let's have a sucker.
But before that.
I thought it was him.
Before that, when Cobra corners him, the guy has this really strange speech where he says, you can't shoot me. He says that he's like, you can't shoot me. You can't pull the trigger. You can't shoot me. You're a cop. You have to arrest me. You have to take me in.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. There's nothing that we've seen about Cobra up until that point that would indicate that he is the kind of cop that is going to read you your rights and take you in.
No, clearly he hasn't seen
everybody.
The rest of the movie.
Yes, he shoots everybody.
Yeah, he.
That's what he does.
He goes, no, wait, I'm Cobra. But he psychs him out. And he's like, oh, yeah, maybe I don't.
Yeah,
maybe I'm someone else.
Yes.
Maybe, hold on a second.
Yes, it was like teaching the Terminator that he's human.
It was reminding me again that it's another Dirty Harry thing. It's tying back to the big confrontation that Dirty Harry had with the bad guy at the beginning of the movie. And the dialogue kind of gets repeated at the end. And that's essentially what Stallone does too. And I guess that's where, you know, says his great line, this is where the law stops and I start. Or is it the other way around? I don't remember.
But what does he say? Oh, you have the right to remain silent. So he always
he says, we're the future. Yeah, and he says, your history.
That's before he lights the guy on fire.
Does he say, wait, no.
Before he...
So he acts, for some reason he's in the smelting factory. And by the way, if you have a factory with all fire and you're producing fire, which you established, you should not have cans of oil around or gasoline. You should lock that up somewhere else. So that falls on a guy. He goes, what the heck? And then they drop a match on him.
Crime is the disease.
He's the cure.
Meet the cure.
Yeah.
I'm the cure.
87 minutes of pure bliss.
Right. Again, doesn't make 90.
I should also mention that when they showed it at the New Beverly last month, a fine establishment, the New Beverly, I recommend it to everyone.
Okay.
They mentioned after the print, there were very slight imperfections with the sound when we were watching the movie. That wasn't the theater's fault. It was the print. And they mentioned, we apologize for this. We just want you to know, this is the last remaining 35mm print of this movie.
Wow.
So that was what they had to show.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Someone saved it. Let's wrap up the movie. We'll talk a little about New Beverly. What kind of you recommend Cobra? Are you in?
Oh, why not? Hey, I went willingly to see it, so why not? If you know what you're getting into, if you want Stallone, if you want 87 minutes of pure bliss, if you want a lot of him killing guys, that's what's going to do for you. Yeah,
absolutely.
Todd?
Yeah, I think it's more representative of his career and of that era than Rambo. Like everybody says that Rambo is his defining role, but I always felt like Cobra was because it's so representative of what he was doing in movies at that time, and also of that era of what was going on in the 80s, like our relationship with crime, you know, our fear, everybody's, you know, fleeing and going to the suburbs, everybody being afraid of the cities, and this one man coming to clean it all up, you know. I think it's his. I always felt like that movie, even though it didn't do well, is his kind of defining.
That's his movie.
Yeah, that's his defining work.
And if for no other reason, see it before Hollywood regurgitates it.
Technically they did already.
Yeah.
So with Cindy Crawford and Billy Baldwin. So
before they really mutilated.
Now, which did Cindy Crawford play Cobra? In Fair Game?
Billy Baldwin played the cop. Shockingly,
Cindy Crawford played the Mercury.
Are there movies like that now, that the senseless killing movies, that could that work now? Do they make these now?
I think it could work. They just don't seem interested in making them anymore.
I mean, well, they're remaking slasher movies, films.
There are definitely movies like that. I think that movie, Shoot 'Em Up, that just came out a couple years ago.
That was a Clive Owen. Right. That was a cartoon, though. That
was, yeah, it was done in a cartoonish way. But, it, I mean, in Wanted, that film.
Wanted, definitely.
It's just one of the, you know,
what
everybody's.
What was the one where all the hitmen were looking for that one guy up in the hotel in Reno or whatever it was?
Smoking Aces.
Smoking Aces. Yeah.
Again, that was more Tarantino. Or,
it's almost like, why isn't the Rock, somebody like The Rock starring in a lot of kick-ass R-rated action movies?
He went right to the kids' film.
Yeah, he goes right to the kids' films. Yeah, I kind of wish that...
They did that with Hogan, too. They started Hogan off real strong, and then all of a sudden he just went in to become like the next Tooth Fairy. It's like, what are you talking about?
It's like they don't want to make those movies anymore, but I think that
those
there's...
Really like the hard,
Hollywood doesn't
the hard
get it.
Hard R violent.
Yeah, I think there's an audience for them. They're just not... I would go.
So you are an actor.
I'm acting crazy right
so
now.
So we'll have some lines for you.
Oh, okay, great.
And Peter, you'll play against him?
Uh-oh. I am not an actor, I swear.
I think it'd be funny.
What are we?
We're just some scenes from Cobra, some dialogue. It's there's a lot of give and take. Usually we just read. Usually we play clips.
Okay.
But I think you should play Cobra in this first scene, Cobra Ready.
Okay.
And you be the Night Slasher.
Do you want me to play it as myself, or do you want me to play it as Sylvester Stallone?
Let's try it as Sylvester Stallone.
Okay.
And
just do what feels right.
Do what feels right.
Okay. Sure.
And act.
The court is civilized, isn't it, pig?
Yeah, but I'm not. This is where the law stops and I start. Sucker.
Sucker was the actual line in there.
I didn't realize you said sucker.
Oh, yeah.
No swearing in that film.
No swearing. Mm-hmm. No, but you don't want to swear mm-hmm. when he's shooting all these people and killing them.
We should have more of the Andrew Robinson
did
dialogue.
Did you see this movie on an airplane?
Yes.
We should have some of that where he's like, damn it, Cope Ready!
Oh, the yelling gonna... sergeant?
Yeah, right.
So let's try you as the... Peter will be Cobretti in this next scene, and then you will be the chief, the angry chief. Go ahead. Tough guy. Peter, but as yourself, Pete.
Well, am I the chief or am I Cobretti?
Well, let's make you Cobretti. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
You start, Cobretti.
What?
And
I'm looking at the chief as the first line here.
No. Right here. That's where we left off, right here. And you go right to it.
Oh, I thought those were two separate things.
Okay.
Take two.
You're the disease, and I'm the cure.
Cobretti! Don't you know you have a little attitude problem?
Yeah, but it's just a little one.
That's a great one line, too, from the film.
That's humor.
All right, let's switch it up, Todd. Let's try you as the supermarket. Let's try you as Cabretti. You are the supermarket killer.
Who am I?
You're the supermarket. Pete is at...
I am the supermarket killer.
Pete as supermarket killer and Todd as Cabretti.
Okay. Are you ready?
Get back! I got a bomb here! I'll blow this whole place up!
Go ahead. I don't shop here.
Oh, God, help us.
All right, just relax, amigo. You want to talk? We'll talk. I'm a sucker for great conversation. Is that accurate?
I don't want to talk to you.
It's an interesting
choice. Now you bring in the television cameras in here now. Come on, bring them in.
Can't do it.
Why?
I don't deal with psychos. I put them away.
I ain't no psycho, man. I'm a hero. You ain't a fucking hunter. I'm a hero of the new world.
Oh, goodness. You're a disease. And I'm the cure.
Die! Die! Die!
Knife.
Die!
Stab.
Die!
Drop it!
Shoot. Ah! And then I think he throws a knife into his torso, and then he shoots the knife.
I don't know how to
push it in deeper.
Right, because it's not in far enough. It seems not violent enough.
Yeah, because going over and just pushing it in beats, like, you know.
No, yeah, he shot it in. That's pretty badass.
That's pretty badass.
And is, again, he's shooting it in and out of an object, which is the case. So tell us about the New Beverly Cinema, and how many times a week do you go? The New Beverly is a revival house.
It's a revival house in L.A. They show double features every night. They do special screenings. They do midnight screenings on Saturdays, some very cool cult stuff. They do grindhouse nights. They show, you know, let's say last December. I was going there a lot during – I go there a lot all the time. But I remember last December there was a chunk of a few weeks where one night I went to see the French classic Les Amants du Paradis. Another time I went to see a double bill of old Billy Wilder comedies. And another time I went to a double bill of Rolling Thunder and Death Wish 3.
Cool.
So it covers the whole spectrum, basically. And it's a great place, and it's run by people who love movies. People who go there are people who love movies.
Doesn't Tarantino own it now? Own it outright?
I think he actually technically owns the building.
Okay.
And he's kind of their landlord. But, yeah, basically, it's a long story, but he pretty much bought the property some time ago, and it still exists because of him.
It's amazing because this guy had run the theater for years and years, and then when he – did he die or he died?
He basically died abruptly, sadly, yeah.
Right, so they didn't know what to do, and everyone – Pete was freaking out. You bought a new VCR, as I remember.
I don't think I should.
You got another LaserDisc player.
I've never had a LaserDisc player.
So do you have a VCR?
I do still have the VCR, yeah.
And do you have tapes?
I do still have tapes.
Because there's some movies that you haven't found yet on DVD.
I'm a very sad person.
But you're not a record aficionado. Like you don't like movies better on VHS.
No. VHS as a format is garbage, but they're just things that you can only find on VHS still.
And for $5. You know what I just got? I just actually, we went to the cancer. Where did we go? Something to do with the cancer.
That would a romantic. Go on.
we went to the cancer. I bought the entire three seasons of Space 1999 on VHS tape for $5.
You see, that's a reason to still have a VCR right there. Yeah.
I have Modern Problems and Wired on VHS, which is
Wired. Wow.
Which one is
Wired? That's the John Belushi bio.
Yeah. Oh yeah, of course. Okay,
sorry, Michael Chiklis.
And Modern Problems is
Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
Which I thought when I saw it as a kid. This is the funniest film of all time, and there will be no funnier film than this ever.
I think I thought something similar.
Movies that don't hold up.
I mean, Yeah.
It just kind of fooled us. And probably the same with Cobra. People saw Cobra like, this is fucking
fantastic. No. I will say, the Stallone Triple Bill pretty much packed the place. And it was kind of, they were...
I was really upset that I couldn't go. I didn't realize until the night of.
You would have had fun. It was partly, people were kind of laughing at some of the stuff, like some of the stuff
How
in Tango
dare
and
Cash. They?
Well, wait. But then again, they were having a great time. They were cheering. They were going nuts during certain scenes.
Nostalgia, I'm telling
you. It was a fun night. I'm not going to make any great cases for either one of the movies,
right.
But I had a great time.
Just out of curiosity, what were the age ranges of the people that were in attendance?
There were a lot of people in their 20s there.
Okay.
How about the gender split?
There were some girls there. I know a number of girls who go to the New Beverly regularly. They're very terrific girls, and it's great to know
them.
They
get a lot of attention.
Hey, there are film geeks who are girls.
Sure. I was just thinking of a Stallone triple feature.
For a Stallone triple feature, yeah, I heard they ran Gone with the Wind a few months ago, which I didn't go to, but I heard they did great with it, and yes, there were a lot of girls who went.
Of course.
But there were a lot of guys that night for Stallone, yeah.
Yeah, it was a big Stallone night.
They were showing Meatballs 2 at the Midnight Movie.
Yeah. Oh,
you Sally Kellerman.
That's Meatballs 3, actually.
Yes,
oh, okay.
Meatballs 2 is Paul Rubens. Who was there that night for a
two-day
before
and,
the movie?
Was it this and this, or was it?
Oh, God, I didn't stay for it.
Oh, my God. Was that the one with the beef bologna? When they sang Beef Bologna?
It's the one with the alien.
It's got an alien.
It's named Meathead.
Meathead, right.
Yeah. Meatballs 2, which wasn't shot as Meatballs 2. They just stuck the Meatballs
title the name on it. And same with the 3 one, I think, too.
And Richard Mulligan is in it.
Richard Mulligan, yeah. Yeah, John Larroquette, too. Yeah.
What fascinates me, not just because they do that sometimes, they'll take the name and they'll put 2 into a crappy movie, but they consciously made a really, really terrible camp movie with an alien in it.
Horrible.
They're like, we're going to make a movie with an alien. This is the plot. Yeah. Hear me out. Like, we got to make a sequel to Meatballs. What do you want to do? I have no idea. We'll just figure it out as we go along. Alien. Fine. We got 10 minutes.
We don't need Bill Murray. We got the alien.
They're making E.T. as a comedy. That's what they're doing, basically. It's a bunch of kids in a summer camp who find
it.
Hey, if they can do it, we can do it. That's
it was a rip-off slash spoof of E.T.
But Paul Rubens played the crazy bus driver.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that was there's a lot of funny points to that movie.
I didn't stick around for it, but I was there for the Q&A. Paul Rubens seemed very happy to be there.
He was there?
He was there for a Q&A. He said he didn't remember practically nothing about making the movie, but he was happy to be there. Yeah.
Nice.
My favorite line from that film.
Of Meatballs 2?
Of Meatballs 2.
Wow, I have no...
I've just always remembered this. At the end of the film, when the alien gets back on his spaceship and is reunited with his parents, you just see the spaceship and you hear the parents in voiceover. And it's... I don't know who plays his parents, but the mom sounds like the woman who played Seinfeld's mom.
Oh, yeah. They're like the old Jewish couple.
Yeah. That's what they sound like. And they say, "You must be hungry. I've made you your favorite. Hot fried ganip ganap." And for some reason, I love that line. Hot fried ganip ganaps.
We can't beat that.
That's our sponsor, Hot Fried Ganip Ganaps. on the show. And Todd, congratulations. You were just today, I know you don't want to talk about this, but you were nominated for an Emmy.
Yes.
For,
I was surprised.
Conan O'Brien.
I actually woke up to a text message from a friend of mine who lives in Canada that just said, congratulations.
Very nice text message to wake up to.
And I had no idea what she was talking about. And then I caught up.
And the show's not on the air. So you're out of work. So you're going to sell your Emmy if you win. Is that why you're hoping to win?
That's why I'm hoping when the value will increase.
Absolutely.
Because it'll be very rare. For
now,
sure
is Conan done? He's coming back doing something, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got a show on TBS in November. Starts in November.
Okay.
So he's doing like a late night show there at 11 p.m.
Is Stuttering John and all the whole cast going with him? Or
I don't think so. Stuttering John was never with him. He was with Leno.
Leno,
yeah,
right.
He went to became a writer for Leno show.
Okay, so now
we are going to take Gary is going to come with us. Elephant Boy.
Right.
Dirty Pants Johnson. I don't know. That's got to be how
Beetlejuice. He's a writer's assistant.
Beetlejuice does good work. Thank you, Eric. Thank you for having us, Marilyn. Thank you for having us here.
No worries, man.
This is Proudly Resents. Go to ProudlyResents.com. Pete, what is your blog? How do we find it?
I guess you just punch it into Google. Mr. Peel's Sardine Liqueur.
If you're into film, it's really good. If you're not into film, check it out. Anyway. Use the hits. The ego can take it.
Thank you. That's
and Todd, your book is coming out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I co-authored a book that comes out at the end of August. It's called Sex, Our Bodies, Our Junk. It's a parody of The Joy of Sex.
And a sequel to Meatballs.
And the sequel. It's a sequel to Meatballs 3.
That's
really? Oh, good.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good plot. That's a good way to do it. Great. And Eric, your show is on
RetroRadioLive.com. Check us out. Me and Marilyn Gigliotti from the movie Clerks. We're on Monday through Thursday live from 9 to 11 p.m. And then you can check me on Jamie Foxx's Foxhole from 6 to 8, usually during the week and in rerun.
Great. Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Peter.
And can I take you out of here with some Rush?
Yeah, it's Rush or not.
All right.
Is this the war between the trees?
You're a genius.
Is it?
Check out MediaYenta.blogspot.com.